Everybody, Pastor Buddy sitting in here with you tonight, live on WWCR around the world, and we're delighted to be with you in this fellowship. Tonight we're going into a new thought line tonight. We've got to get on to a sacred message, very important. Actually, it's very timely because, you see, the sacredness of the mysteries behind the veil. That's our message tonight. The sacredness. You know, in this day and time, not much in religion is held sacred. You know, you can have it your way. You're at Burger King, or you can rush through the drive-in line of religion, and you can get your tank filled or your tummy filled and things of this nature to satisfy your mind and to be assured that you are on the right trail if you belong to this certain denomination or that certain denomination. And yet we find today's generation, lukewarm, cold, indifferent, separated from the commonwealth of the basic fundamental laws. Even the environment is not safe for man. The things that we have going on today is horrendous. The mistakes of the past will bear out the mistakes that we're making in this generation as very deadly and very costly. Well, if you gain the whole world, let's say that the material generation. This is the material generation, entertainment generation. We love pleasures, and we love the things that seem right. We don't necessarily enjoy the things that are right, because you see, the things that are right are things that don't set well with the flesh man. The Bible says that the carnal mind of the flesh man is not subject to the laws of God, and neither can be. So we're going behind the veil tonight in the sacred measure of Passover. We're coming up, as you very well know, the count is on. We are in the spring festival, and the time of reckoning of the equinox is already past. We've done mark that day, so we start our calendar actually, at the end of this month. The new calendar begins at the first of the month. And so then, we have the new Sabbath calendar. Now, that's the lunar calendar, the one that we go by, which was the calendar of our Creator, nature's calendar, where man couldn't pollute, corrupt, change, or alter in any way. This is the magnificent truths that the Father has given us. Set within this beautiful truth of correct times is the four festivals, or the four seasons, included in the three festivals. Now, if we look at the first festival of the spring, it's Passover. We're going to deal with that tonight in the sacredness. We're going to assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that a little thimble full of grape juice and a little dry cracker will not excuse you in the day of judgment from the performance that's demanded of the doers, not the hearers. Now, it's very well and good, clean, and seems right, because the churches set their little silver trays and cover them and have these sacred moments of a Passover sitting right in the confines of their seats where they are very well padded. You're very comfortable. You've been entertained by the singers and the players on the instruments. And so then we go through these ceremonial rituals of tradition to fulfill our way. And the Bible is tossed aside. Oh, we don't do that no more, Pastor Buddy. That's under the law. Glory to God, Shunda. And all this, they give you these indifferent. This unbelief system is so damning. The Bible says that unbelief is a damning sin. And the Messiah said himself, why call me your master or your ruler or your creator authority and do not the things that I say to do? Now, how many Passovers did the Messiah keep? Well, a lot of people would have thought that he kept 33 because he was 33 plus years, as we know it, when he died. But he only kept 32. Now, it just so happens that the final supper, the final Passover, will be his 33rd. And so then, the law or the rule of the sacredness of 33 comes into play tonight. And we're going to go behind the veil and going to look at the mystery of the second Passover. Remember, a lot of people think that Christ ate the last Passover before he died. He did not. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. I can read right there where he desired to eat it with them. Yes, he did. But did you know that he could not possibly have fulfilled the prophetic prophecies that he was to die on a torture stake as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? It's incredible that he was actually slain on the 14th day. The Passover doesn't start, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where the meal, the first meal is taken, doesn't start until the 15th day. So at the going down of the sun, this symbolizes, first of all, that the day starts in the evening of the going down of the sun. So, actually, the day starts in darkness. You ever thought about that? So, if the day starts in darkness, then you've got to wait for the light. And they that wait upon Yahweh will renew their strength with the wings of an eagle. They'll take their flight in spiritual matters into the mind where Christ will dwell with you in high places. Now, remember, Christ has nothing to do with tradition. Very well, he spoke against those that love the tradition of man. Did you know that even the Jews, who had the authority to kill him, and they didn't even kill him in their Passover, the first Passover? Did you know he escaped the first Passover only to be condemned as unclean, as we're going to find out and discover in the next couple of episodes, that we want you to be fully aware of the very unique importance of this opportunity of the now generation to take time out of your busy life to do your soul a spiritual favor by coming to and participating in a biblical experience behind the mystery of the veil. Ladies and gentlemen, I can say this with all of my heart. I don't know much, but what I do know has been opened through the practicing and the participating and my performance in the festivals that Yahweh scheduled to open up the spiritual mind. You see, there's a set of rules and regulations. Yahweh will only give light to them that seek it, and those that seek it with all of their heart will find it. Now, what you say, well now, Pastor Buddy, what are we talking about here? Well, let's look at a few scriptures here. The veiled insight into the various phases of his coming. Remember now, he died, if you will, in the 14th day before sundown, meaning that the lamb slain in the typical Passover of the Hebrew custom according to Leviticus chapter 23. These are a must. Now, when I say a must, our father said that we should keep three festivals required attendance according to the scriptures. And then he goes into great detail on how this was done. It was still being practiced in the time that he came into a flesh body. So he actually kept 32 Passovers. Now, you've heard about the Masonic Order of the 32nd degree. And did you know that if we divide the 32 into a series of four, which also represents his name in a series of four, the four holy sacred letters of his name, the veil of mystery will unfold to you when you keep the things according to his word. However now, darkness is always associated with the world and not with Christ. So then, at the going down of the sun, there was darkness. Now we're waiting for this day of light and revelation to come. It only comes through the participation in obedience to the command of our Holy Father. Now, the Bible says, he that says he loves me and will not keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if there's any truth, if there's any dedication, if there's any hope for my soul, and I have prayed, and I have read the Bible, I have fasted, I have sought him in the caves and the mountains here in Tennessee with all my heart. I have been so weak in times of fasting that I would take people into the water for baptism, and I was so weak that I seem like would barely have enough energy to lift them out of the water. But somehow the Father gave strength in a time of need. And he'll do that for your soul, for your enlightenment. Remember the night that they left Egypt? Remember the blood was applied to the door? Your door is the heart of your understanding now. the typology of the symbology of the Passover is that the blood, a cleansing process, must be applied. Did you know that the first lamb and its blood was offered to Yahweh as a tribute and the covering of the sin of his mother, Eve? Did you know without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin? And every time you keep an actual, truthful, factual, biblical Passover, ladies and gentlemen, how often I have sat in the congregations of the little churches here in the hills of Tennessee, old-time Baptists, sitting here with my family and my friends and my neighbors, and we would take the grape juice and crackers and wipe our mouth and say, we have fulfilled that form of doctrine that was delivered to us, when actually we did no such thing. Did you know that most people are still in a destructive darkness of their mind? Did you know that most people are still sitting in prison and can't get out? Did you know their mind is fully gone over to the cares of this world? That their hearts are actually failing them for fear? For looking upon those things that will come when they don't even know how to prepare their physical body for safety, let alone their spiritual body? Which is greater? He that can destroy both soul and body, or he that can destroy the body? What if you gained the whole world and you lost out on the ability, or you failed to perform that form of doctrine that was delivered to you from Leviticus chapter 23. Now, you notice it very strange that if you read the book of Leviticus, it's a book of customs and cleansing to the furniture of the tabernacle and to the very personage of the individuals that participated in the covenants of that day. And that finally the Father in the 23rd chapter, 3 and 2 is 5, and 5 is the number of grace that the Father had upon those that would apply the blood. Did you know that they were stubborn, rebellious people? They wouldn't do it. Probably got some grape juice, and Shun died 2 or 3 times, and honor glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take into consideration and know full well that the day of Yahweh will come like a thief in the night. Right when they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like a birth pang upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, Paul said, are not in darkness. Well, if we're not in darkness, let's come into the revelation of the second Passover and find out the importance of its significance in obeying. I told you that revelation comes only through obedience. The Bible said that him that heareth, and it's not to hear that's justified, it's the doer, so he that doeth, not him that heareth. First you got to hear the word, then you got to obey the word, so obedience is better than a sacrifice. You can't pay enough tithes. You can't find enough friends around the radio network to mail all of your offerings to get them to soothe your conscience when you deny what's written. And then when a man of God comes along and preaches the living word with the fire of the baptism process, of obedience, it causes the soul much alarm. I'd be alarmed too if I had not started out on my journey to seek Him for all that's out. Did you know that the more you seek the Father, the more He seeks you? Did you know that the more you draw near to the Father, the more He draws near to you? Did you know that the more you search for the Father, the more He'll search for you? And that the more that you reach for the Father, the more He'll reach for you? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we know as a religion of performance, not a religion of words, smooth speech, or enticing words of man's wisdom, but the words of our Father ringing true. You shall, on the first month, He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 12, today will be the beginning of the months for you. That's why that we begin our new year in April. April is the first month of the Hebrew lunar calendar. Now, as I said, we have the lunar Hebrew calendar finished and perhaps in the mail to you. And if not, and you haven't received a copy, then you can write Pastor Buddy, and I'll be glad to get you a copy of the lunar calendar. If you would like to be interested in knowing the mystery element of the lunar signs of the times, our Heavenly Father has given us a wonderful, wonderful, glorious opportunity. Right here in America, we're fat, overweight, lazy, trifling, lukewarm, as I said, cold, indifferent, and separated from the revelation of truth. And then the Bible says that if we will put on the whole armor, and remember this, the more armor you put on, the more is required for you to go to war. Now, who do you war with, Pastor Buddy? You war with that carnal mind. When you would do good, evil is always present. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy for us to join the world and the comforts of the world, because the world has comfort in each other. They sit and belly up to the bar, so to speak. They drink the intoxicating beverage of ignorance, fear, and superstition, or a seem that way, when in actuality has nothing to do with the divine covenant revelation behind the veil of the mystery of the second Passover. You need to hear the teaching on the elements of the revelation of the second Passover, not the first one now. You see, Christ didn't die in the first Passover. And you thought He did. You actually thought He ate the Passover. But He didn't. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, the Bible said, you know, that night He was up there in John chapter 13, verse 1, glory to God. He's sitting there eating the Passover, and He washed the disciples' feet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what most people think, that He ate the Passover. It's clearly, undeniably stated in John 13, 1, that it was before the Passover that He ate this last meal with His disciples before He was led away that night. So it was the night of the 14th Actually, it was the 13th, as it fell upon the beginning of the darkness. Remember, they took Him away that night, which it started the meeting started on the 13th. That's the day that they searched the homes for Lebanon. Remember, Christ had to pray to search his own heart for the Lebanon that was in him as he prayed for the cup. He knew what was coming. When you think he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, you better take another look at the book. I'm telling you, this world is so out of sync with the revelations and the divine covenant mysteries that you have need of a teacher. You have need of meat. For they that are on milk are unskillful. It's ridiculous how many people are deceived. How many people are in a seem right way. Oh, the bigger the church, the more right it seems. Because, you know, 800 million people can't be wrong, according to the Catholic Church. 26 million people can't be wrong, according to the Baptist Church. 14 million people can't be wrong, according to the Methodist Church. Well, see, that's numbers. And all along, God said, I didn't choose you because you were the most people. So the bigger the church, the more Babylon is instilled and installed within the system. The smaller the church, the greater chance of truth piercing the veil of a small congregation. You see, when we build up a tradition, you know, we have Sister Sally to sing three songs, and she does her little dance, dancy-de-doo across the stage two or three times and shouts, Hallelujah. Don't even know what that means. Takes a glass of grape juice at the sacrament, wipes their mouth, and say they've done no wrong. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not of the night. We've got to come out of the nighttime fog that is veiled in the mysteries. We've got to come into the daytime. Notice, don't let us sleep as others do, saith Paul. Don't let us sleep, but let us be alert and sober. Now, the enigma, which can only be solved as we realize the difference between the adequately prepared salvation seekers and the world, we know that they that seek him have the potential to become the sons of light or the sons of day and not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, Satan holds up the veil of tradition. Keep the mysteries folded neatly under the table. Don't bring out the raw, naked truth of the hard saying of the Word of God. Turn away from such that practice this rioting and banqueting and feasting in the traditional modes and come to the wilderness. You see, Israel started out on their great journey with the blood of the Lamb on the door. This is symbolic of putting it on the heart now. And they had the Lamb's food in their bellies when they departed the darkness of the land. Unless you get a revelation of the Lamb's food with the revelation of the blood of truth sprinkled upon your heart generously, as the high priest sprinkled the blood of the Lamb upon the Ark of the Covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a sprinkling of a new day. We pray and we moan and we groan for deliverance in this apostate, cold, indifferent, separated world from the love of the truth. The Bible said the day will come that men shall not, not men shall, but men shall not endure the sound doctrine. The more lies you preach, or the more seem right. Let me put it this way. Everything that a preacher preaches seems right. If he tells a sad story, it seems right. He'll get you to cry. If he can play upon your emotional heartstrings, if he can get you to dance in to Satan's music, if he can get you entertained with the things of this world as opposed to the things that Yahweh chose. Now, how many Christian fellowships do you know that kills a lamb on the second Passover and shares it with the body of Christ and unveils the great mystery of the elements that have been hidden from the world from the very foundation? Did you know that not many people understand the second Passover? And for that reason, most of them don't even understand the first one. They just hear that they killed a lamb back in Egypt, and they departed with the blood over the doorpost. Now, we drink grape juice as a symbolic gesture of support for remembrance. What greater honor could you bestow both upon the Word, because it is a living entity in us? Christ said, "My Word has no place in you." Ladies and gentlemen, I am very knowledgeable in what the Word will do. It'll cut down to the dividing asunder to the joint and the marrow of the bone. It'll separate mom from dad, dad from mom. It'll separate sister from brother, brother from sister. It'll separate uncle from aunt, and so on and so forth. But if you're not willing to withstand the rigors and the persecution and the resentment of this world, because you will be hated for His name's sake, according to Matthew 10:22. And ladies and gentlemen, what a great honor it is to be called a Christian today. And I belong to the first this and second that and First Apostolic this and Second Apostolic that, or Church of Christ this and Church of Christ that. Or I'm a Mormon. Or I'm a Jehovah Witness. Every one of them preaching the same fundamental traditional doctrine that the world has grown up with over the years. Because the Bible says that God Almighty Himself will send the world, they that love the world, and the things of the world, He'll send them a strong delusion. Now that's a strange statement, Pastor Buddy. I'd like to get into the functioning of the symbology of the second Passover. Let's take a look at the second Passover. If you look at the doctrine of the second Passover was instituted and brought forth for those who had touched the dead body. Well, did you know that right before the Jews' first Passover, that Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, and that He actually sat at meat with Simon the leper? Both these would declare the Messiah and his followers that were with him when they raised Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was happy. He hugged every one of them. And the Jews who were present, according to the 11th chapter of the book of John, they were present there, and they watched this marvelous miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, who was dead. Now, why do we know he was dead? Because the Sanhedrin, in the system of Israel, had to have each one that died in the state of Israel, under the Levitical covenant, must be numbered and given an official death certificate. Therefore, the high priest had pronounced Lazarus dead under the customs of the state of Israel. Now, to have him to raise again would make it a clear violation of him being dead and someone touching his dead body. And that's exactly why, and I'll give you the element of the mystery here just in a moment, in simplistic terms, for you that are going to make an effort this May. The festival will begin on the 11th day of the month of May. And we're going to give you the place next Sunday night. And we're going to tell you the date tonight. It'll start on the 11th day of the month of May. That's the second Passover. And the functioning of the second Passover is identical to the functioning of the first Passover. You see, the first Passover required a place or a temple to worship, a place where he put his name for the people to come to. That's why that there was such a large crowd in the state of Israel at the first Passover when the Jews, who feared the people, but knowing if they let this miracle-working Messiah, if they left him alone, the whole world would believe on him, and the Romans would come and remove them as a power among the nations. That's why that they had planned and plotted to kill him. But, you see, the Jews are smart. They said, and we're going to give you this scripture, if you'll hold on just a moment. Let's get the Bible, and I want you to read where we're going to read the evidence of certain scriptures that indicated from the appointed festivals in Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to run over to the New Testament to prove the fact that Christ did not eat the first Passover, and neither did he die in the first Passover. Now, that may be a shocking revelation to you, but not to them that have studied to show themselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. And if we look in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to go to Matthew, if you will, turn with me to Matthew, and we're going to go to chapter 26. Now, I'm going to start at the first verse of Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass that when the Messiah had finished all these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. Did you know that the mysteries behind the veil is astonishing? And did you know that people take it for granted, or take it as some light thing and let it pass? Oh yeah, they get inspired when they hear a preacher preach. Then they shut the radio off and they go back to their ball games and their entertainment, to the jazzercising of their mind, to be exercised in the the physical realm rather than the spirit, giving no thought, never fasted a day in their life, never praying, never preparing for the day that's going to come upon all the world, unexpected. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. You know that after 2 days is the Feast of Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now, we know that he was betrayed to be crucified, but was he crucified in the first Passover? No, he wasn't. It says he was to be betrayed. The crucifixion come in the second Passover, not the first one. He did not eat the Passover meal. He was the Passover meal. At the actual time that he died in the second Passover, he was killed at 3 o'clock. Tells you exactly when he died. On the 14th day of the month. Well, it just so happens that on the 11th day of May will be the 14th day of the second Passover. The 14th day. Now, isn't it wonderful that we have the knowledge to look behind the veil of the mystery elements of the sacredness of Almighty God? And I will stand here today and tell you emphatically that the Passover is one of the most required elements of sacredness to open the veil. Matter of fact, the veil was not opened until Christ died in the second Passover. Let's find out. Then assemble together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the people unto the palace of the high priest and consulted that they might take him by the subtleness of deception. Remember, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to sweep him under the rug. They wanted to bury him and forget him and hope he would just go away. That's what a preacher of God will do to a soul that will not repent. I have my critics and enemies that would hope that I just go away, because they can't compete with the revelation of truth for truth's sake. You see, I don't preach to please man. I don't have any organization. I don't have any ruler over me. I have a lot of friends that support me and encourage me. But none of them have ever tried to influence my message, because they know that I'm committed to the doctrine of the Word of God. And I will not, absolutely will not accept any substitute, irregardless of the monetary gain that would be the result of my rejection of the word. You see, I know how to preach a lie. I know how to basically cover the truth to keep from preaching the truth. What do? You insert tradition, a seem right way, and a big shout and a hallelujah and a good song and things of this nature. I've done it for 30 years. I know. I've been there and I've done that. I'm not speaking to you as a greenhorn. I've been around the rim looking for the handle of the teacup a long, long time, ladies and gentlemen, and I've seen spirits come, and I've seen them go. But I can say this truthfully, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed a begging bread. I know to whom I've committed my trust. And my faith will not waver in preaching what is revealed. Now, notice this. But they said, Verse 4, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to slip in and very, very secretly kill him. Kill him. They planned premeditated murder. That's first degree, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you see, we've quit indicting the devil. We quit blaming the devil for what he done. You think Almighty God forgive the devil? You think God's going to let the devil back into heaven? You think he's going to let his seed, the spawn of Satan, the Cainites, back into heaven? You think he's going to let these compromisers, these no good seam riders into heaven? Did you know that the Bible said he will spew them out of his mouth? And he said, bring those wicked servants before me. Was that mercy? Slay them in my presence. Oh. You know what Winston Churchill said, and I'm not a big fan of Winston Churchill, but he did make a very good statement. He said, men occasionally stumble over the truth. But most men, after they stumble over the truth, pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to stumble over this revelation. You better, while you've got the chance, while you've got the health, while you've got the strength, you better pick you a time and a place to meet with the festival of the saints at Passover. And the second Passover, where we kill the lamb and eat the sacred meal on the 15th day, that's on the night of the 14th, beginning the 15th day, and then for 7 glorious days, we take unleavened bread and worship the Father. And I'm telling you, revelation upon revelation, every revelation I've ever got that is significant, that is mysterious behind the veil revelations, these revelations that mean something to the soul, mainstays, mile markers, if you will, benchmarks upon the soul, that this soul has been through these experiences, let me tell you this. Listen to this. When a man who is honestly mistaken hears the truth, he will either quit being mistaken or cease to be honest. And that's exactly what happens with this informed world. When they hear the truth, they shake it off like a duck shakes off the water, or a dog that's swimming in the water comes up and shakes himself violently to get rid of the truth. New paradigms put everyone practicing the old paradigm at risk. The higher one's position, the greater the risk. The better you are at your paradigm, the more you have invested in it, and the more you have by changing, you have to lose by changing that paradigm. If we change the word and go to the tradition, we have sold out and stumbled over the truth, and we will reap a whirlwind in the end. Listen to this now. But they said, now, verse 5, I want you to go with me to Matthew 26, verse 5. But they said, not on the feast day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're done here saying, let's don't kill him now, guys. If we do that, we're in a big bunch of trouble, because there's a lot of people around here that believe on him, and we'll have an insurrection on our hand and an uprising we can't handle. Your failure to be informed does not make me an idiot. But if you fail to hear and obey the Word of God in its openness, right, I'm reading to you, that he did not, and they did not, kill him in the first Passover. But they said not on the Passover. Well, the Jews' Passover was the first Passover. The only ones that were qualified to keep the second was those who had touched a dead body or those in a journey. Well, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. They feared the people. So what'd they do? Well, you know, they're pretty smart people. You got to give the devil credit. He didn't just fall off a turnip truck. These demons have been practicing lying from the very beginning. That's what they do. The devil and his children are liars, and they're so good at it that they would deceive the very elect. So what are we going to do? Stumble over the truth? And act like nothing ever happened? Or are we going to let the truth pulverize our traditions and form the rock of Gibraltar in our heart and a mighty fortress of faith as we begin to build upon a foundation? Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, showing you he hadn't died. Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. Oh my, I've got to go. My time is already gone. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to him and said, "Where will you that we go to prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Remember, I told you that he never ate the Passover. He was the Passover. He ate the preparation meal the day before the Passover day. We'll prove that in part two of Behind the Veil of the Sacredness of the Revelation of Passover. Coming up on May the 11th of the Gregorian calendar, on the Hebrew calendar, the one that we have, it's on the 14th day. That's the 11th day is the 14th day because, see, they don't practice the moon calendar and the lunar cycle. They change times and laws to deceive you and take you out of the rhythm. If you're interested in helping us on the program, we really need your help. And if you can help us in any way, form or fashion, just drop me a card of support. If all you want to do is say hello. Keep up preaching it. I love those times of encouragement. You see, we get discouraged because so few people respond. But those that do, the few, the straight, the narrow, the way that is right as opposed to the way that seems right, many there be that go on in the seem right way. So we're an elite group. Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, my telephone number is area code 423-626-2172. And if you plan on attending the second Passover festival that we keep here in Tennessee, I would be delighted to hear from you. And we can make arrangements for you to come. And we can give you directions. Next Sunday night, Yahweh willing, we'll probably have our place locked in and we can give you address. And if you'll write me next week, I'll give that information to you. As a courtesy of the Shepherd's Call Ministry, because we look forward to having a wonderful, wonderful time of revelation behind the veil of the elements of mystery that's hidden in Passover. Oh, what a wonderful time. I'm telling you, folks, revelations come to them that are hungry. Them that will sacrifice their time and pay their expenses. We got people that fly in from Puerto Rico, California, and around the nation to attend our Passover fellowships and our Tabernacle fellowships. It's wonderful. We've had a great time over the years. I've been practicing this for many years. And I'm telling you, I get enthused just like a young child when the time comes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time has come and gone. My address, one more time, is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. And if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the old clock on the wall has told me I gotta go, and I'll see ya next Sunday night on part two of the sacred element behind the veil of the second Passover. Yahweh bless you.